Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
From Lower Manhattan, the center of the financial world, this is Money Talking from WNYC. Good morning. I'm Jeff Greenfield, joined today by our regular contributors, Joe Nocera with the New York Times and Rana Faruhar with Time Magazine. Job losses, falling revenue, big spending cuts, core questions about size and scope. No, believe it or not, we're not talking about the federal government and the impact of that looming fiscal cliff. We're talking about the troubles that face the nation's biggest banks. Latest, Citigroup. The bank says it's going to cut 11,000 jobs and close some 44 branches. Rana, why is the bank making these cuts? What's going on here?
Well, it's something that's happening not just to Citi, but the entire industry. And in a phrase, leverage is out and liquidity is in. And what I mean by that is that regulators are forcing banks to hold more money, hold more capital. And at the same time, their revenues are going down and their profit margins are compressed because the very high profit, riskier trading operations are also under pressure. And a lot of banks can see the handwriting on the wall about all this.
In the case of Citi in particular, Jeff, this is a bank whose roots really are in consumer banking and in branch banking. And it never was all that good at all that other fancy stuff. And so one of the things that's been going on at Citi is that it has gradually been shrinking and try to, you know, get back to what it does best. The current chairman, however, didn't think it was going fast enough, so he maneuvered to get former CEO Victor Pandit out the door and brought in a new CEO who, of course, immediately announced these cuts.
Well, speaking of CEOs, the legendary Sandy Weill, who built the bank up, said more recently it should be broken up. And there's an irony possibly here with all the talk about banks that are too big to fail. Are these cuts, in fact, voluntary efforts by some of these banks not to be too big to fail?
Yes, they are, as a matter of fact. And so what you're seeing is Citi slimming down. You're also seeing Bank of America, which is literally buried in litigation. It has tens of billions of liabilities, mostly because of its countrywide asset, quote unquote. And so it's slimming down as well because it needs to raise capital.
You know, there is a huge irony, though, Jeff, in Sandy Weill saying that he's for splitting up these large institutions since he helped to build one of them. But I think that the banks can see the handwriting on the wall. There's a lot of talk amongst regulators about bringing Glass-Steagall back in or somehow tweaking Dodd-Frank to reflect the core of that.
Do we need to make a distinction here between these giant banks, the Wall Street banks, and the smaller regional banks when we're talking about how healthy or unhealthy the financial sector is? Is there a difference here?
Yes, there really is. I mean, the mega banks do all sorts of things in derivatives and securitizations and a lot of fancy financial footwork. The regional banks don't really have the capacity to do that, and their health completely depends on how good they are at making loans to normal people or companies. If they're good at it, they're healthy. If they're not good at it, they've got problems. And that's why you see a lot of bank consolidation.
But here's a question that a layperson such as myself might wonder. For years and years, these bigger banks have said, your criticism's misplaced. We've got to be taking risks. We've got to be doing these innovative, exotic kinds of transactions because that's critical to a vibrant economy and innovation. Now, if the banks are going to turn into George Bailey in Bedford Falls from It's a Wonderful Life, what, if anything, do we lose?
Well, you know, I'm reminded of the famous Paul Volcker quote that the best thing in terms of innovation that banks have come up with in the last few decades is the ATM machine. I think you can look at a chart showing the growth of finance in the 1980s, and actually the number of new businesses starting up began to flatten out and even fall around that time. So right when the business of banks was getting fancier and supposedly more innovative, the number of new companies were falling. So I hope that as banking changes and perhaps goes back to a more traditional model, we start to see more lending to the real economy.
Jeff, the bank CEO who still proclaims that slimming down is bad is Jamie Dimon. And J.P. Morgan is the bank that has most intent and argues most strongly for size as being an asset. And he, you know, what he always says is, you know, Caterpillar doesn't just need us to lend them money. They need us to do foreign exchange derivatives and so on and so forth. And if we stop doing that, the business will go somewhere else. It's an argument that hasn't been tested, but it may be soon.
Well, speaking of testing, I'm talking about something that may test the blood pressure of some people, and that is the issue of Wall Street bonuses. The Wall Street Journal reported that total compensation at 32 of the biggest banks could be a record high this year. My question is this any of the public's or the government's business? Or is it something where our gorge should indeed be rising?
Well, yeah, my gorge certainly is rising, but I'm not so sure there's a lot we can do about compensation. I do think that eventually and naturally it's going to go down in investment banks. I remember a couple of years ago a well-known hedge funder telling me that he thought that banking, the size of the industry in general as well as compensation, was going to shrink by maybe 25-30% because there were just a lot of mediocre people on the street making $400K a year. And I think that as profit margins are compressed, you're going to see a lot less of that.
Finally, as we do every week, we're going to look ahead to next week and the stories that we're watching. With me again, Joe Nocera with the New York Times and Rana Faruhar with Time Magazine. Rana?
Well, I have been looking, like many people, at this Hewlett-Packard story that continues to evolve. HP is having its latest debacle. It bought a UK-based software company called Autonomy, which has just gone up in flames amid accounting scandals, fraudulent accounting. It's just the latest in a number of problems that HP has had. But the connective tissue that I see here is the fact that HP really stopped innovating internally. They tried to buy in short-term growth, as opposed to putting real money, like companies like IBM and Apple do, into R&D and building new products and services and technologies from within. And I think that holds a lot of lessons for other companies.
Joe, what is blinking on your radar screen?
Well, since we're talking about both banking and scandals, I'm thinking about Deutsche Bank, which finds itself in the middle of, yes, a banking scandal. It turns out that during the financial crisis, allegations are that the bank hid the value of certain positions worth billions of dollars, which, if they were acknowledged, would have required government assistance to prop it up. These allegations are now coming out, and I suspect by this time next week we'll have government investigations both in Germany and in America.
Well, we'll be watching those stories and all the week's financial news at WNYC.org/business. You can also take this program with you as a podcast available at no charge from iTunes. I'm Jeff Greenfield. This is Money Talking from WNYC. Thanks for listening.